This is the John Clayton Show
on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in on the conversation at 866-979-ESPN. Now, here's your host,
the professor,
John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Rick in Seattle. Hey, Rick.
Hey, John, thanks for taking my call. Just quick take on your take on the Seahawks and John and Pete. Yeah, you're spot on that. Ask any Seahawk fan 10, 11 years ago if you could present the 10-year run we've had, what would they say? Yeah, they would sign up every day and twice on Sundays for that type of thing. So I agree with you 1,000% on
that. Appreciate that.
My question, quick take, is I'm in this called a survivor pool. You might be familiar with them.
Okay.
It's basically every week you pick an NFL team just to win. They don't have to cover a point spread or anything, but you only get to use them once. So you have to, this time of year, if you're still luckily in one, you have to start mapping things out. And I'm down to this weekend. I'm looking at Philadelphia against the Giants or Baltimore against Cleveland. And I know Baker Mayfield's pretty banged up, and I think they're gaining a few of their offensive weapons back. Kareem Hunt, I think, is going to be back, and a few others.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to I'm waffling between the two. I like Philly. I like Jalen Hurts and what he's been doing, and the Giants are
terrible.
They're at home, but I don't know.
Yeah, the Giants are terrible. So if Philly's one of the options, I think I'd lean towards Philly. Now, is Baltimore an option, or is it more Cleveland as a survivor?
No, it's Baltimore is the option. I've used
then it's Baltimore. That's a good football team.
Okay. I know they've had, you know, they've been banging around, and Lamar was out obviously with the COVID, and he's back.
Well, he didn't have COVID. He was just had an illness.
Oh, okay. I thought it was maybe COVID.
No, it wasn't COVID. Anyway. It was just an illness that cost him the game last week.
Yeah, thinking he's been out 2 weeks and might be a little rust on the on the frame, but I don't know. I like both picks. I'll be happy with either of them. I'm just trying to see if there's an edge to one or the other.
Yeah, Baltimore's the better team.
Yeah,
so I would lean toward Baltimore.
They're playing good. Harbaugh's a great coach.
He's
another one.
Yeah, but again, it's like, you know, Harbaugh's done a great job with that team. I mean, Lamar Jackson, say what you want, is an MVP candidate, and runs the ball so well. The team runs the ball well, despite losing their top three running backs. So no, I would lean toward Baltimore.
Okay, I will take it under consideration and probably lean that way. Thank you, Professor. Have a great weekend.
Hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Jeff in Kent. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Happy holidays, and here we go.
Yeah.
First thing, shout out to the Coug fans. They earned it, and they whooped us, and, you know, good for them.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how they go. My question to you is, you said something earlier about Bill Belichick, and, you know, last year he finished 7-9, and now nobody clamored for his job. Yeah, he's got a little more hardware than Pete Carroll, but this whole talk about Pete Carroll and being gone and losing, I hear it every week now. It's like, please stop.
I agree.
Yeah. And then there was a caller that said, well, you should sit Russell Wilson down for the rest of the year. And it's like, why?
Yeah.
Why would you do that? You know, people get hurt in practice, let alone a game. It's like, just let him play. And, you know, who knows? Wilder things have happened. You know, who knows? You know, maybe we go on a run. I don't think we're going to make the playoffs, but that's okay. I would like to see some improvement. And as a Seahawk fan, somebody said a couple calls ago, it's like, if you would have signed up, you know, 10 years ago, it's like you go to the playoffs, you know, 9 out of the 11 years Pete Carroll's been here. Everybody would sign up for that.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And it's hard to win in this league. We have injuries. We have some, you know, issues, but, you know, I'm okay with it. And, you know, I think sometimes the 12s are a little spoiled, and the real football fan, let's go back to, you know, back in the late 80s, early 90s, Remember when they used to black out football games in your city?
Right.
We don't have that anymore because we're that good. And you know what? It's a bad year. It's a down year. It's a down year for the Huskies, down year for the Seahawks. And, you know, I'm okay with it. But don't talk about getting rid of, you know, Pete Carroll, John Schneider. There might have to be some adjustments. But don't goof the stuff up, you know.
Yeah, because, again, who are you going to replace him with?
Well, the other thing, too, Who's a hot commodity? Who cares? Pete Carroll's a hot commodity. He's good. You have a franchise quarterback, and I think you have a franchise coach. Leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
We just, you know. And then one other thing, and I'm not sure how to ask this, is Bud Grant still alive?
I think he is, but I can't guarantee it.
The reason I bring it up is because didn't Pete Carroll start under Bud
Grant?
He did.
Yeah, he did.
I was just wondering if Bud Grant was alive and Pete says, hey, you know, I need some help here. You know, Bud Grant, you know, the crew cut guy and all that, you know, he was awesome. I wonder if he just said, Pete, take it easy. You'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure Pete talks to a lot of people that he's worked with. And, you know, I'm sure they all tell him the same thing, is just try to work through it. And that's what he's trying to do. But again, it's like the overreaction in the city has just been brutal.
Oh, well, I think the main thing is, like I said, I think we're just spoiled. And, you know, if you don't win, then off with his head, walk the plank or whatever.
Yeah,
No, stop. Just stop. Just stop. So, anyway, Mr. Clayton, you have a great weekend. And it was great talking to you. And I'm still listening. So have a good one.
All right. Sounds good. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Brian in Snohomish. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate the show. It's great to listen to, and I like the way you treat people. It's fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
I bet you, how would you like to be Jen Cohen about right now? And I bet she's working. Want to bet?
She's not happy, I'm sure.
It's been a brutal year. We, you know, we sensed something taking place after the Montana game, and there's something lacking. And as you know, it's a very tough job to be a head coach. You have to. There's so many things you have to learn, and I think Jimmy Lake will be fine. He'll land on his feet. Certainly, he has 10 million reasons to. But I do think this hire she has to get right. She has to even I hear some things about either Campbell or is it Hawkins, Campbell from is that Iowa State?
Iowa State, Campbell, yeah.
Or DeBoer, I believe he's over at Fresno State. So I hope they can get this thing going and get it quick. I a lot of us faithful would prefer not to have Justin Wilcox at this time, but I'm hearing some inklings about that too. It's a tough year for Husky football. I don't think people envision this. I do would have to tell you, though, that the last couple of years of Chris Peterson weren't exactly ecstatic or, you know, really.
Yeah, but not as bad as this. Not as bad as this.
Well, particularly when you're outside chance to be in the college football playoffs. In fact, our good friend Phil Steele even predicted we had a great shot at the college football playoff. Ryan Leach Ryan Leaf even did. But, you know, listen, one of your colleagues there, listening to the former quarterback, said, look, maybe Jimmy Lake should have never tied his hand to John Donovan. And one of the things I've learned in life, if you're ahead of something, make sure you get fantastic people around you. Don't let your ego get in the way of having fantastic assistants or those people around you that can maybe be better at something that you are. And I think Jimmy has to bear some of the responsibility for this. Getting a coach like Donovan, who was not sought out, he was an assistant running back coach, I think, for what, Tennessee or Jacksonville, maybe Jacksonville Jaguars. So this has been a real train wreck from the get go. One of the things too, if you look at it, Coach Peterson, he would run drills. Jimmy Lake said, "No, we're going to run scrimmages." If you notice, a lot of the kids were hurt this year. We had a tremendous amount of injuries, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think it's going to be a long go. I'm looking forward to a future of Husky football. And good for the Cougars. I'll give them 1-8 every time. 1-9, how about that? 1-8, we'll give them that, right? every once in a while.
Yeah.
They blew us out. I understand. They had something to play for. We did not. But I sure appreciate your show, and hopefully better days are ahead, and I will re-up my tickets for next year. Okay?
There you go. Good job.
Hey,
good job.
Thanks, John. See you, buddy.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Couple items right now. I know that the Commando Dave just texted in and said that Bud Grant is still alive at the age of 94, and the Mariners finally have made a move, and it's a significant one. You know, Jerry DePoto waited 2 days after Thanksgiving and was able to pick up second baseman Adam Frazier from the San Diego Padres in exchange for a pair of minor league players, left-handed pitcher Ray Kerr and outfielder Corey Rozier. And according to DePoto, Adam is a proven, versatile, well-rounded player. His presence makes our lineup longer and our team more complete. And, you know, he's 30 years old. He'll be on 30 years old December 14th, coming off his best season where he posted a 305 slash line, a 305, 368, 411 slash line, 36 doubles, 5 triples, 5 homers, 43 RBIs. He had a 4.0 Fangraph WAR number, and he actually was leading up an all-star last year. So they did make a move, and they got a second baseman, not a third baseman, a second baseman. So Adam Frazier is a new member of the Seattle Mariners. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Rick in Twin Lakes. Hey, Rick.
Hey, good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, that was an interesting move that you just announced.
Yeah.
DePoto. And, I would recall last week I was talking about the Seahawks and the fact that Rashad Penny doesn't want it anymore. And it was never more evident.
Yeah.
The 18-yard run, and then he went out. And then he came back in one more time for 1 yard.
Mm-hmm.
And Pete Carroll was mystified at the press conference to explain why he wasn't in there. And he kind of sounded like he was defending C.J. Procise. Like I said, he's collecting a paycheck. But I don't think he really wants to play football. His heart's not in it. And, of course, D.J. Dallas, had a good game for his limited amount of time that they had him in there, which I thought they should have played him more. He averaged 6.3 yards a carry and scored the only touchdown. Mr. DJ Dallas, that is. And I think that Alex Cullen and DJ Dallas should be 1-2 as far as the running backs.
By the way, did you see the All-Pro, the Pro Bowl voting by fans?
No, I did not.
Okay, so DJ Dallas was number 5 as far as kickoff returns.
Oh, okay.
So he got some recognition.
Oh, yeah, he does. He's a good kid. He's got a great attitude. He works hard. Like I said, one of those kind of guys, you just hope he gets his chance. That's all. Russell Wilson, once again, and it's been said quite a bit today about Russell wanting to continue to go downfield. He wants to be the mad bomber, you know. But the tight ends were available. Ends were open. And he only hit them a few times. Gerald Everett's 3 passes caught. And, of course, Will Disley only caught 1 pass.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and if you – it's kind of like a fight. You go to the body so you can get to the head. I mean, if you throw the short passes, it'll open up the deeper ones.
Right.
And I just like running the ball, you know. But it's the same – pretty much the same thing. Seahawks, they've got a pretty tough way to go, you know. They need all their games. They need to win all their remaining games, to which is going to be quite a task. Since they've got to play the Cardinals in their backyard and the Rams in their backyard.
Uh-huh.
So that's going to be 2 that you pretty much can pencil in that they're not going to win.
Yeah.
If I was to say any more, I'd just be repeating myself. So I'll give it one more thing.
Yeah.
Last week, I mentioned that I was going to go get a puppy. I picked up a male boxer.
Okay.
And I named him. Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Gronkowski.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah, his name is Gronk.
Okay.
Yeah, and the dog, is, he knows his name. He's paper trained, and he's fitting in real good with my other boxer.
Well, you know, the only thing is, unfortunately, the boxer can't get the USAA membership because unless he was in the military or if parents were in the military, then that didn't happen, as we saw in the Gronk commercials that are out there all the time.
But he does have a great jab and a tremendous overhand right, kind of like Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, as you know, I'm a big Gronk. I'm a big Gronk fan because he went to my high school.
Exactly. I figured you would appreciate that,
John. No, that's great.
Hey, have a nice John. Have All right. a nice day, John.
Okay, appreciate that. 866-979-ESPN 206-421 ESPN. Let's go to Mark in Nashville, Tennessee. Hey, Mark.
Howdy. How are you, John?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me? I'm walking my dog in the woods. Anyway, I'm a Coug fan.
Okay.
And
congratulations.
Yeah, that was a thank you. It was that took a load off my shoulders. You know,
mm-hmm.
The Huskies have had our number for years and years and years, and I really like Dickert, and Brian Smith did an awesome job.
Mm-hmm.
Can you look in your crystal ball and tell me about the recruiting class? And,
I cannot because I, you know, like for like the college, NFL draft and for recruiting, you know, I don't get into that till after the pro football season because I spend so much time on the pro football season. It's hard to get into those areas. From what I understand,
right.
They've done a good job recruiting, a very good job recruiting. So that's encouraging.
Right. And then they'll go to the Rose Bowl. Rose Bowl. Here I'm jumping up.
Yeah. You got to watch for Oregon and see what Oregon does today.
Right. And I'm asking all the Husky fans to please pray for Washington State, man. It's Oregon State, rather,
mm-hmm.
that they beat Oregon.
Yeah, because, again, if that happens, if Oregon State wins today, then Washington State wins the North. And then Utah's already won the South. They won that yesterday. So now we have a pretty good picture of what's happening in the Pac-12.
Right. That's awesome. Do you think they'll keep Dickert?
I don't know. I think so. I don't see why they wouldn't. I mean, he's done such a great job. I mean, what more can he do? I mean, if he doesn't, if Oregon wins, is that his fault? No. But I think that he's kept his team together. He's kept the coaching staff together, and they continue to win.
Yeah. Yep. It's been a good year. It's been a weird year.
Yeah. As you watched the game last night, what did you keep saying as the game kept going on?
This is not a typical Husky fan or a typical Husky team. I've watched the Apple Cup now for 52 years, and that was not your typical Husky fan.
Right.
Husky team. Yeah. They were dominating. Washington mm-hmm. State was dominating every aspect of that game.
And Sam Hewitt, as good as he's going to be, just didn't seem like he was ready. Four interceptions.
No.
A lot of bad throws.
Right. Yeah. And then he's taking it on social media. And I feel sorry for
That's
Sam.
A shame. Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah. It is. People should just keep their negative opinions to themselves.
Exactly.
Anyway, John, I appreciate you taking my call.
Okay.
And I want to say howdy to everybody from Nashville, Tennessee. Y'all come down and bring a lot of money in.
There you go.
Have a good time.
Hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. We're going to come back and have our weekly dose of the Groz with Dave Grosby. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
It is time for our weekly dose of the Groz with Dave Grosby. And so, Dave, yesterday the Cougars just absolutely, totally, completely blew out the Huskies 40-13. We anticipated the Cougars had the edge in this game, but 27 points?
It could have been about a lot more than that, John.
Yeah.
It could have been 27 points in the first half the way Washington State was playing them. They just weren't able to convert as much in the first half. But this was, as the score would indicate, no contest.
Yeah, no doubt. And so, I mean, your thoughts on Sam Huard? I mean, as great as he's going to be as a quarterback for Washington, I mean, he just didn't look ready.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of had the same thought. I mean, then again, he's a guy who hadn't played a whole lot, and look, I think you saw what he's going to become. You know, mm-hmm. if he works hard, you certainly saw the ability. You saw the power in the arm, but it felt a little to me like he was being thrown to the wolves. That may be a good way to start your career. You know, may establish the kind of work ethic that you need to get a whole lot better, but. I thought, as you did, John, that as much as I was criticizing Bob Gregory for changing quarterbacks constantly, which he was doing the past couple of weeks, mm-hmm. You could have made a switch on Huard in that game. He was a little overmatched in this one.
Yeah, particularly by the second interception. I mean, I think you can look at and see him on the sidelines, you know, talking to the coaches and talking to different players and different things like that, that you could see that was probably the time to be able to do it, but they kept him in and just didn't, you know, give him a break.
No, and he winds up learning something the hard way, so he'll have a chip on his shoulder moving forward. And boy, it just goes to show, I mean, you know, Washington started this year, John, ranked 20th in the country.
Mm-hmm.
20th in the country, you know, off a shortened season where they had reason to believe that they were going to be good and with a veteran offensive line that was supposed to give them a great advantage. And it just all fell apart. I mean, you know, there have been some bad Washington seasons in recent memory, but I don't know of any of them compared to this one where you had expectations that were top 20 and maybe, you know, even, hey, we get a break here and there. Mm-hmm. You know, we can pull off an undefeated season to being a team that lost to Montana that wound up going 4-8 and really going down as one of the worst they've ever had at Montlake.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And how about for the Cougars? I mean, the fact that, you know, 7 years that they've lost in a row to the Huskies, to be able to get a win over the Huskies, get a big win like that, and at least put themselves in a position where if Oregon loses today, which is probably unlikely, but if Oregon loses, then all of a sudden Washington State can win the Pac-12 North.
Well, anything's possible in a rivalry game like the Civil War, and yeah. Oregon State's got some talent, but you're right, it's unlikely. And if it does happen, that is an unbelievable accomplishment. They're in the championship game with a rematch against Utah, who beat them during the regular season. Nonetheless, a chance to win that game and likely play in the Rose Bowl, which would be mm-hmm. an unbelievable occurrence when you consider where they were when their coach walked away. It was a very impressive performance. They were ready for this game in every way, shape, or form. They didn't allow the fact that they didn't really run it up in the first half get them down, that they kind of left the door open for Washington. In fact, they just kicked the door closed in the second half. So, but you know, for Jake Dickert, it was an incredible performance by his team. They'll watch and wait and see what Oregon State can do. But regardless of that, they're going bowling. And in my opinion, Washington State's got a very tough choice to make because, you know, this was a coach who did it with a limited coaching mm-hmm. staff as well. You know, several coaches walked out as well and did just a fantastic job.
Yeah, so do you think he should get the job as the full-time coach?
My opinion, yes.
Yeah, I
My
do,
opinion,
too.
My opinion, yes. Yeah, I think you know, to have a winning season, to get through the kind of, adversity they got through, and again, I reiterate, to do it without a full complement of coaches
yeah.
and have a team that was so played so well, you know, didn't pile up tons of turnovers. There wasn't clearly anything missing. I mean, four assistants went with Nick Rolovich, and that was just really coaching behind the eight ball,
and
he did a fantastic job. He's 38. Yeah, I would keep him.
Yeah, no doubt. And, of course, I thought that the quarterback did a good job. The running game did a good – I mean, everything for Washington State just worked yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, look, I hate to say it, but they looked like the not just the better football team,
yeah.
but like they had better football players.
Right.
You know, usually Washington is bigger and stronger, and it just did not look that way yesterday for the Huskies, who have got a long, long road back, it feels like, John. You get a sense that recruiting has been damaged pretty much, and it wasn't going that great to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they get someone in who's dynamic, who can turn around a recruiting class immediately, next year is going to be a little rough too, I think.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So they've got a lot of work to do, and then they still have to get a head coach now. And I don't know how long it's going to take. Now, they obviously got to make the right choice. But boy, if you're Jen Cohen and you have to sit through a game like that yesterday, you can't be very happy.
No, you're not. You're looking at a scenario where I didn't see what the crowd numbers were, and they're probably a little bit better for the Apple Cup, but they've been abysmal all year, just abysmal all year. And that is definitely a factor. And look, you know, Washington's basketball team plays in the non-conference schedule they play, which is normally, you know, here's Gonzaga playing Duke last night, and Washington's playing Texas Southern, and no one's going to their games, and they're not even winning all of them. So, you know, they're having a problem with their major franchises, I'll call them, you know, men's basketball and men's football, and drawing fans in. And it's it does reflect back on the athletic director who hired both these coaches.
No doubt about it. How do you kind of look at the Pac-12 right now?
Well, it depends on what Oregon does. If Oregon come up with a big victory against Oregon State and stay in the conversation, though, I don't know that they'll be a Final Four team. I mean, there's always possibilities there. If in fact they get in there, I mean, it really will speak well to the entire conference if that happens. If they don't, you know, if they lose to Oregon State or win, but just say, nah, we're going to go with, you know, the ultimate, John, would be if Ohio State gets in instead of them.
Right.
When they went to Columbus and beat Ohio State, that would be, you know, you see Oregon being treated kind of like someone outside of the Power Five. So I think a lot depends on what the Ducks do against the Oregon State, and then what the committee does in terms of putting them in there. If they get in, even if they lose bad, that bodes very well for the Pac-12. It means, you know, you're still, your best team is still good enough to play for the national championship.
No doubt about it.
If they win the Oregon State game and don't get into the Final Four, then it speaks to the fact that the conference is not very well regarded.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. And probably for the most part, there's not a lot of great reviews of the Pac-12 overall, but then, hey, not a lot of great reviews about the Pac-12 either. I mean, some of the other conferences too.
Right. It would come down to how they did in bowl games, and that would lead towards it a little bit. You know, how UCLA and Washington State and Utah and those guys doing their bowl games.
Okay, we have baseball news today. I don't know if you were able to pick up on it. The Mariners acquired Adam Frazier for two minor league prospects from the San Diego Chargers, and you know, he's a 305 hitter who was an All-Star last year.
Yeah, switchblade.
Yeah,
he's a Mark McLemore, you know, who was a vital part of the 2005 team, you know, or the 2001 team. You know, Mark McLemore lost his job to Brett Boone, and he went into Lou Piniella's office and said, "I'm still a starter." And Piniella said, "Yes, you are." And he wound up starting at second base, at shortstop, at left field, at right field, and that's exactly what they've got with Adam Frazier. So they got a guy who can play at second base, but can also play all over the place. I mean, can play left field, right field, third base, so is a guy that you will see in the lineup a lot, will start a lot of games without perhaps having a set position.
Yeah, no doubt. But that's, I mean, because again, everybody's kind of wondering. It's like, okay, when's Jerry DePoto going to make a move? And I know that, you know, he's been on with Mike Salk and continue to talk about, hey, we're making some progress on this, we're making some progress on this. And then finally, you know, he gets this deal done. And I know that he's working on pitchers and stuff like that. In fact, I know I have to look at it closely because I didn't have a chance to read it closely. That Seattle Times listed about 9 pitchers that they're interested in. There's been about 7 that have signed so far, and they need obviously 1 or 2 starting pitchers.
They do, but you know, it's step at a time, piece by piece, and the other thing that and this points it out obviously that it's not exclusively free agents where you're going to be able to acquire pitchers. You know, one of the reasons why you build up your farm system, and they did not really give up any top prospects in this one.
No, they did not.
But one of the reasons why you build up your farm system is to make deals sometimes. So don't forget that they can still make deals for pitching as well, like they did for Adam Frazier.
Yeah, no doubt. And, of course, I mean, the thing with Frazier is, like, decent batting average.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't have much power, but that's okay. I mean, he's a second baseman infielder, and you don't necessarily need that. So now what about third base? How do you think that sorts out?
He's going to be in the mix there. I mean, he'll be a player who plays there, and Abraham Toro is going to be a player who plays there. I think that's a position that they're probably looking pretty hard at. I feel like I think everyone does, that they're set with J.P. Crawford at shortstop. So they've also talked about, you know, being willing to look at guys who weren't the guys you necessarily expect to be third basemen. And like I said, Frazier can play third, so he'll fit in the mix there. But that's a spot that that I think they'll be looking at for the big league roster moving forward. Whether they have something coming up in the farm system or not, they're definitely going to be looking at third base.
Well, that's the thing. Abraham Toro, I mean, I know that he did pretty well last year in his, since the trade coming over from Houston. But, he was considered to be one of the brighter young prospects for like 3-4 years. He just never had a chance to be on the field because of Houston.
Right. Now he's got a chance to be on the field, and he's going to have a chance to win some jobs and win playing time. Look, you know, you need – it sounds just like a silly thing to say, but you need baseball players.
Yeah.
I mean, you need – when you got 25 guys on the team, you need guys who can play, and it's much better to have guys who can play a variety of positions, to have that kind of depth and flexibility that you can maneuver, and that's I think seems like what they're trying to build here with. And they've already got guys. I mean, Ty France is a guy who can play a couple of positions, and they've got guys who can do that. So that's a strong way of going about it from the Mariners' standpoint.
No doubt about it. Now, of course, big game coming up Monday night. Seahawks taking on Washington. Two teams right now that are on the verge of getting almost eliminated from the playoff competition.
But two teams, it feels like, going in different directions, John. Yeah. Washington is 2 weeks off beating a Tampa, which gave them a lot of momentum, understandably so, and at 4-6, they're trying to claw back in it, and they did so last year. And the Seahawks at 3-7 are trying their rallying cry. You know, they don't have to pretend that everyone thinks they're against them. Everyone is against them. They don't have to pretend to think that no one thinks they can do it. No one thinks they can do it.
Yeah.
So you've got the veterans in that circumstance. You've got for the true believers, you've got a very good quarterback normally when he's healthy, and you got two good wideouts, and you've got an individual who can win games for you, and we've seen Russell Wilson do that. So, it's improbable, it's unlikely, but it's not like you're trying to hope with a team that is going to struggle at quarterback. You know, you got a guy who can make big plays for you. So I feel like 7-0 is completely unlikely. You got to take it one game at a time, though. They've been a better team on the road, and they've been at home for some reason. So, being on the road in Washington may do them some good.
That may be. And in Washington, they have played better the last couple of weeks, but they were horrible at the beginning of the season, and their defense has just been the biggest drop-off of just about any team in football.
Right, but I think that we're looking at the last 2 weeks, John, and we're seeing something that's happened there. Ron Rivera's got them playing now, and they seem to have made the kind of transition that the Seahawks are hoping to make.
No doubt about it. And so what's the biggest thing that you need to see from the Seahawks from the improvement standpoint?
I think, specifically, John, you want to see Russell Wilson putting up the kind of numbers that he put up earlier this year and throughout his whole career. I mean, once you see that, I mean, you can start to dream a little bit. Nothing is possible without Russell Wilson being the Russell Wilson that he was.
Right.
So if that doesn't happen, then nothing's going to happen. You can have the defense step up and play better. You can have a lot of other things happen. But if Russell Wilson does not, perform the way he has in the past, the team can't get it done. So first and foremost, I'm looking to see if his accuracy is back on his shorter passes. I think the last game we saw him connect on a long pass and look good in a couple, so I think he's got it back there. If his accuracy is back on short passes, he's going to have to run the ball more. I mean, he's going to have to become more of the total offense guy that he's been in the past, but he has been that in the past. And if we see Russell Wilson playing on all eight cylinders, then you've got a team that can still literally beat anyone.
Mm-hmm. You can see that league-wide, they're starting to get down on Seattle because next week's game, which was a Sunday night game, was flexed. And so against San Francisco, that game now becomes an afternoon game and not a night game.
Yeah, that was a mistake. As most people know, the Seahawks and the 49ers play great football games against each other.
Yeah.
I don't think the record really matters much. They usually play great games against each other. And I would have, even though the Seahawks are down, I would expect that one to be just as good.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about
it. Don't you? I mean, those are great games.
Oh, I'll tell you what a great weekend for football this weekend. I mean, because again, we've already seen two of them, even though the Thursday schedule was pretty bad. That Chicago-Detroit game was just awful. But, I mean, there's 9 games, an NFL record, where you had 500 teams or better facing each other.
Don't forget, you got Ohio State playing Michigan right now.
Mm-hmm. What's the score there?
14-13 Michigan at the half.
Hmm. So, Jim Harbaugh may be able to make that streak where he hasn't been able to beat Ohio State.
Well, he's don't count your chickens yet.
No,
it's
that's
just
true.
Halftime. But yes, there would be Harbaugh's Michigan's ranked fifth. Ohio State is ranked second. So this is a truly, truly epic matchup of the best rivalry in college football.
And, of course, I mean, what now are you going to watch here on what is the last day of regular season college football?
Much. And the minute I hang up with you, it's back to Ohio State, Michigan, John.
Okay. Well, I don't want to keep you from that. What else is on the agenda for the Groz this weekend?
Just Thanksgiving sandwiches, buddy.
Okay. Yeah.
Same meal for three meals a day.
There you go. That sounds good. A lot of turkey?
You betcha.
There you go. That's our weekly dose of the Groz with Dave Grosby. Dave, enjoy the remainder of Thanksgiving weekend and enjoy your turkey.
John, talk to you next week, buddy.
All right. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
And our thanks to Matt Nelson for running the show. Our thanks to Matt Nelson for producing the show. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Commando Dave. David, how are you?
I'm worn out, John Clayton, but it's great to be back on the John Clayton Show. Shout out to Matt DNC Nelson for getting me on the airwaves of 710 Cairo, home of the flexed out Seattle Seahawks, so I can bring it to the show. And to paraphrase, the center of the 1932, 33, and 34 Michigan Wolverines and the 38th President of the United States, Gerald R. Ford, our long Husky nightmare season is over.
Yeah.
And talk about a bookend, John Clayton. After the season opening inexplicable home loss to the Montana Grizzlies, the Dogs got pounded into the turf of Husky Stadium by the Cougars, and a WSU flag planted in the field, and all heard right here on 710 Cairo, home of the Cougars. So congratulations to WSU Cougar fans and to Cougar fan caller Jeff. As a Hewitt family fan, don't ever come on the John Clayton Show again and try to besmirch that legendary football name.
No.
And while I'm talking about the agonizing end of the Husky season, John Clayton, I think I speak for curious Husky fans, curious non-Husky fans, and most of his journalism teachers when I say to Mike Burrell of the Seattle Times, we're all still waiting for the follow-up to your article, suspended UW football coach Jimmy Lake faces allegation he shoved player in 2019, which posted 2 weeks ago today. Like, whether or not, along with your five face maskless sources, the head coach and or AD were aware of the alleged incident that they described, which you wrote, occurred less than 2 months before Jimmy Lake was announced as the Huskies head coach. And if so, then, well, look, you can take it from there. I'm not going to do your entire job for you on the John Clayton Show. And, John Clayton, look, from my raw dog Husky fan perspective, Mike Vrabel opened the door. Actually, he kicked the door open to the head-scratching notion of the Washington Athletic Department due diligence. Did the AD just find out about the alleged incident when her assistant plopped a copy of the Times on her desk? Or was it in Jimmy Lake's file before being handed to Mike Vrabel by Deep Throat in the head parking garage? In my estimation, this is more serious than a Matty Ice international immobiliary infatuation. And if Mike Vrabel isn't going to put on some scuba gear and dive down his own rabbit hole, he needs to quit writing about the Huskies football team, as the late Howard Cosell would put it, post-haste. John Clayton, you're a Hall of Fame football writer.
Right.
Winner of the Dick McCann Award, along with numerous other distinctions, along with Dre's Award. You're following the bouncing ball of what I'm talking about here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, sometimes it's just hard to get that extra push to get the the information to confirm things and all that different stuff. And obviously, you know, if you're going to be covering the Huskies like Vrabel, it's like you got so many things going on, because you got to keep on top of the coaching search. You got to keep on top of are recruits going to stay. You got to keep on top of where that is as far as decisions by the new coaching staff. There's a lot there. But again, you know, it's like, you're right. There's still the question, what did management know and when did they know it?
Thank you. Bottom line on that. But the other thing is, man, thank goodness, as I said, this Husky season has come to an end. Yesterday would have been one of the sweetest victories after a very sour season, and this turned into probably the most agonizing defeat of the year. Moving to the Seahawks, John Clayton, like a caller alluded to earlier. We've watched a lot of bad Seahawks football since 76, and we only hear young voices which have only seen good Seahawks football calling for Pete Carroll to be fired.
I know.
Look, I, for one, along with a lot of old Seahawks fans that called the show, say, I'm rolling with Pete Carroll until the wheels fall off. And, and I'll admit, one wheel is off, and there's a flat on another, but there's no need to panic and start talking about firing Pete Carroll. And then the notion of not playing Russell Wilson for the rest of the year is one that's even more curious. It reminds me of listening to the broadcast a few weeks ago against Green Bay, and when Dave Wyman at the end of the game said, you know, it's interesting watching Russell Wilson down there because he's the only guy on the field who doesn't know that Seahawks are about to lose. So he's that kind of competitor. You're not going to keep a guy like Russell Wilson on the sideline for the rest of the season.
No, that'd be wrong.
That's not going to happen.
I mean, look at the bad seasons that the Falcons have had. Has Matt Ryan not played? No, he's played all the way through that. It's like you're the starting quarterback. You're making $35 million, whatever you're making. I mean, you play. And particularly a guy like Russell Wilson, who loves the game of football, he continues to play. Hey, Commando, have yourself a great Thanksgiving weekend. Enjoy college football and get that Washington season behind you.
My best to Mrs. Clayton. Go see y'all. Talk real. Talk to you, John Clayton.
Okay, sounds good. And, of course, that's the John Clayton Show. Coming back next week, 8 to 11, it's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.